I'm going to read God's word before we think about it together. I'm going to read from Revelation 5. The Lord really impressed this on my heart this morning. We've already read those words when the tomb was gloriously empty. We've declared those words, He is risen. But I want to take us to Revelation 5, right into the throne room of heaven and the victory that we see there. The victory of the Lion of Judah, the Lamb who was slain. So Revelation chapter 5, if you have a Bible, you can follow on. We're going to be returning to this in a few moments' time and thinking through what we read here. So Revelation 5, John writes, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God who sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.' Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshipped." Amen. We thank God for his incredible word. Keep your Bible open if you can, if you're following along in Revelation 5. Day 349 in the Bible in 1 year reading plan says this. This is a great question. It says, "But how can one person be both the Lion and the Lamb?" How can one person be both the Lion and the Lamb? That's our big headline this morning, okay? That's our big thought this morning. You're going to carry this away this morning. How can one person, how can Jesus be both the Lion and the Lamb? The reading continues on day 349 of the Bible in 1 year. The reading continues and it says this. In C.S. Lewis's Narnia books, any Narnia fans? Okay, C.S. Lewis's Narnia books, the lion Aslan represents Jesus. And in the most famous of these books, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Aslan is slain. "Bind him, I say," repeated the witch. the white witch, let him first be shaved. The shorn face of Aslan looked braver and more beautiful and more patient than ever. Muzzle him, said the witch. The whole crowd of creatures kicking him, hitting him, spitting on him, jeering at him, they began to drag the bound and muzzled lion to the stone table. But later they heard from behind them a noise, a great cracking, deafening noise. The stone table was broken in two pieces by a great crack that ran down it from end to end. And there, shining in the sunrise, larger than they had seen him before, shaking his mane, for it had apparently grown again, stood Aslan himself. Aslan tells them that when a willing victim who had committed no treachery was killed in a traitor's stead, the table would crack and death itself would start working backwards. Isn't that brilliant? That's the heart of the Easter message in words of C.S. Lewis. The death is working backwards. Death is being reversed through what Jesus has done for us. Death is undone. Death is defeated. And so the author writes in an imaginative and a powerful way, C.S. Lewis shows how Jesus can be both the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lamb that has been slain. The language, this language of the Lion and the Lamb is found in Revelation chapter 5 that we read just a moment or two ago, where we're taken inside heaven's courts. We get to go behind the scenes of heaven. And there in heaven's courts, we see Jesus standing in the center of the throne of heaven. Let your mind go there. We're taken right inside, and we see Jesus at the very center of it all. And Jesus is both the Lion and he is the Lamb. Verse 5 of Revelation 5 tells us that he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah who has triumphed. That the Lion has won. And because he has triumphed, John tells us that he is the only one able to break the seal and open the scroll. Verse 9 then tells us how that triumph has come about. You see, the Lion is also the Lamb who was slain. The Lamb whose life was given, whose blood has purchased for God people. People like you and me, people, John writes, from every tribe and language and people and nation under the sun. And because now Jesus is both the Lion and the Lamb, verse 12 tells us this. He alone, and this is what we're doing this morning as we worship him. He alone, Jesus alone, the Lion and the Lamb, is to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Don't you give worship to anything else other than the Lamb who was slain and the Lion who has conquered. He alone is worthy of all of our praise. It might sound like a glorious juxtaposition. There's a big word for you. That it doesn't quite make sense that someone can be both a lamb and a lion at the very same time. It doesn't quite fit together. Sure, it doesn't, a lion and a lamb. But it's precisely this that makes Jesus unavoidably attractive to our broken human condition. And Jesus alone is worthy of our wholehearted allegiance and love. And so this Resurrection Sunday, I want us to celebrate and worship the Lamb who was slain and the Lion who has conquered. Today, the Lion of Judah roars in victory over Satan, sin, and death. Let me just say that again. Can you wake up? Come on. I'm tired. but I am up for this. Today, the Lion of Judah roars in victory over Satan, sin, and death itself. Considering Jesus as the Lion and the Lamb, Pastor Sam Storms, one of my favorite theologians, he says this: the Lion who wields power and strength that none can resist is also the Lamb who walked this earth in weakness and suffering, resisting none. The Lion who rules the world and governs its every move is also the Lamb who was meekly led to the slaughter by his enemies. The Lion who is known for his uncompromising commitment to righteousness is also the Lamb who overflows in love to sinners like you and me. The Lion whose majestic beauty captivates the human heart is also the Lamb who condescended to take upon himself the likeness of a man and was in appearance quite ordinary and unimpressive. The Lion who is holy and pure beyond our wildest imagination is also the Lamb who is gracious and kind and tender-hearted to all. The Lion who could silence a raging storm with a single word is also the Lamb who refused to speak or revile against those who nailed him to a cross. The Lion who is life itself is also the Lamb who willingly dies for his enemies. The Lion who is in himself, who in himself needs nothing, being altogether self-sufficient, is also the Lamb who gives and gives and yet gives again so generously and so abundantly. The Lion who is known for his majesty is also the Lamb who is known for his meekness. Stunning, isn't it? Jesus is the Lamb who was slain, and he is the Lion who has conquered. Even in the lead up to that first Good Friday, and we've journeyed there through this last week, there are moments when Jesus appears as the Lion, when he enters the temple courts and he gets righteously angry with those who have turned a house of prayer into a den of robbers. It's a little glimpse that this is the Lion of Judah. And then there are moments when Jesus appears as the Lamb, none more so than at Calvary, where Jesus is led like a lamb to the slaughter, absolutely silent. He does not open his mouth. Could the Lion of Judah have rescued himself? Of course he could. But the Lamb does not open his mouth. And so as the song says, our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. But then we see Jesus, the Lion. On the third day, the angel declares to the woman at the tomb, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here. He has risen. Just as he said he would, he has risen from the dead. And so as the song lyrics continue, then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, oh, come on, yours is the victory. Out of the silence came the roaring lion. The roaring lion from the tribe of Judah. He rose from the dead. He defeated Satan, sin, and death. He came out of that grave, roaring triumph over it all, declaring that the grave has no claim on him, nor on any of his people. Jesus, yours, King Jesus, yours is the victory. Jesus, yours is the victory. You're the lamb who was slain. You are the lion who roars. The lamb who was slain for the sins of the world is the lion who now roars victory over Satan, sin, and death forevermore. We've every reason to celebrate this morning. I'm going to put a, a point up on the screen here that's perhaps not the most theologically slick thing I've ever said in church. Easter Sunday, forgive me for that. Here's my point. This is copyright Hawthorne 2024. Satan swallowed a lamb, but got smashed by a lion. That's good, isn't it? Satan swallowed a... Yes. I mean, all of this, by the way, is my own stuff. There's no plagiarism. But this just really... I thought this was genius. Satan swallowed a lamb, but got smashed. That's my theological language. Smashed by a lion. You see, many, many years ago in the 1700s, Puritan preacher, theologian of much greater intellect than me, Jonathan Edwards, who was instrumental during the Great Awakening in the United States in the 1700s. Jonathan Edwards wrote this. Just listen to this. You really need to tune in, okay, to hear this. He says, the devil had, as it were, swallowed up Christ at the cross, okay? The devil had, as it were, swallowed up Christ as the whale did Jonah. But it was deadly poison to him. He gave him a mortal wound in his own bowels. He, the devil, was soon sick of his morsel and was forced to do by him as the whale did by Jonah. And to this day, the enemy of God, he is heart sick of what he then swallowed as his prey. You see, at the cross, Satan thought he had won. Do you understand that? The enemy of God thought that Jesus was swallowed in death. He thought the Lamb of God was swallowed. Just like the fish swallowed up Jonah, Jonathan Edwards says. The enemy of God thought that Jesus was swallowed up in death. But precisely because of that, the death blow was dealt to the enemy of God. And Jesus, like Jonah, was given new life. And the whale tossed Jonah back out. 3 days later, the Son of God raised from the grave. Death may have swallowed a lamb, but Satan got smashed by the lion from the tribe of Judah. It's amazing. And here's the thing in Revelation 5. Are you still with me? Here's the thing. The lamb is standing. I don't know if you can see that in Revelation 5, verse 6. The lamb is standing. The lamb is standing. He's not the lion who was slain for the sins of the world. Sorry, the lamb who was slain for the sins of the world is not slumped in a corner in heaven. He's not lying down in a heap on the ground like a dead corpse anymore. The lamb once slain is now standing tall at the center of the throne. And he has seven horns, seven being the number of fullness or completion. And horns are symbolic of strength and power throughout the book of Revelation. Are you getting the picture? The lamb is victorious because the lamb is a lion. The lion is victorious. If we flick forward through Revelation to chapter 17, verse 14, we see the final enemies of God fight against Christ. And here's what we read. It says, they will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. You see, the lion lamb is victorious. Over the years, I've come to understand that the book of Revelation can be summed up in one word, and the word is victory. Victory. We know how this all ends. Whatever you're going through, we know how this ends, and it ends in victory. Some of you are wearing victory right now. The Greek word, the ancient Greek word for victory is Nike. N-I-K-E. That's not a joke. That's for real. The Greek word for victory is Nike. N-I-K-E. Some of you are wearing victory this morning. The verb form is nikao. And nikao in the New Testament means to conquer, to overcome, to triumph. It occurs 28 times in the New Testament, and 17 of those are in the book of Revelation, because God wants us to know that Jesus has won, that victory is in the person of the risen Lord Jesus. Revelation is the book of victory. Victory over Satan, sin, and death for the church, for you, and for me, because we belong to Jesus, the Lamb who was slain and the Lion who roars. And so as we prepare to respond in worship, let me invite our worship team forward. Because of all of this, the message this Resurrection Sunday is this: don't give in and don't give up. Jesus has triumphed. Jesus the Lamb, going to be really honest as we come to a response. Jesus the Lamb reminds us that suffering is real. The death is a reality to life on earth. But Jesus the Lion reminds us that after every dark Friday, there is the glowing horizon of a Resurrection Sunday. That in Christ there is always light after darkness. You hear me on this morning. There is always life after light after darkness. There is always life after death for the people of God. There is always hope after despair. And I want you to hear that this morning. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to sing in a moment. I'm going to pray before we do that. But whatever you are experiencing or going through or facing, perhaps enduring in your life right now, whatever it might be, whether it's pain in your body, pain in your spirit, pain in your mind, whether it is the loss of a loved one or an impending operation or treatment that's in front of you or a loved one or whatever it might be, whatever you are experiencing, whatever it might be, I want you to know that Jesus is risen. And if he is risen indeed, the Bible tells us that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power of the Holy Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in us as his people. And so may we all know that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear can be gone. Because he lives, he holds the future. And life is always worth the living, just because he lives. Lord Jesus, in these moments, we thank you that you are the Lamb who was slain for the sins of this world. But you're also the Lion who is victorious, the all-conquering Lion from the tribe of Judah, the one who has conquered Satan, sin, and death forever, so that for us as your people, we get to step in the Spirit into your victory, won for us at the cross and at the empty tomb. And so, Lord Jesus, may we respond with songs of worship and praise and glory and honor and thanks, and with our songs of victory. because you have won. Lead us now, Holy Spirit. Enable us to respond, to lift our voices and our hearts in adoration for all that you've done. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship God.